turn to the Bible reading first. I want you to have a look at it because it's a little bit different to other Bible readings that we might have. It's on page 680 in the Orange Bibles. So turn to page 680 and just have a look at it first, please. Great, I think we're mostly there. So if you have a look down at the beginning of the Song of Songs, you can see that it's been written with three sort of spoken characters. The first one that you see is called She, unimaginatively. This is a female character, obviously. There's then later on, down in verse 9, a male character called He. And then we've also got a group of friends. Now, Jeff and Carolyn are going to do the He and She bits, and Fiona is going to read the intro and the friends bits. So I'll hand over to them.
Solomon's Song of Songs.
Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is more delightful than wine. Pleasing is the fragrance of your perfumes. Your name is like perfume poured out. No wonder the young women love you. Take me away with you. Let us hurry. Let the king bring me into his chambers.
We rejoice and delight in you. We will praise your love more than wine.
How right they are to adore you. Dark am I, yet lovely, daughters of Jerusalem. Dark like the tents of Kedar, like the tent curtains of Solomon. Do not stare at me because I am dark, because I am darkened by the sun. My mother's sons were angry with me and made me take care of the vineyards. My own vineyard I had to neglect. Tell me, you whom I love, where you graze your flock and where you rest your sheep at midday. Why should I be like a veiled woman beside the flocks of your friends?
If you do not know, most beautiful of women, follow the tracks of the sheep and graze your young goats by the tents of the shepherds.
I liken you, my darling, to a mare among Pharaoh's chariot horses. Your cheeks are beautiful with earrings, your neck with strings of jewels. We will make you earrings of gold studded with silver.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. Thank you. Very well read. Let's pray together before we start. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you that you teach us about yourself and that you teach us how to love you more and each other better. Please do that today. Make us people who adore you and who rejoice in living your way. Now, I wonder how you felt as you heard those words read out. How did you feel about the compliments that Jeff and Carolyn were giving each other through the words of the Bible? Some of the phrases sound a bit odd, but that's because they were written well over 2,000 years ago. And although some of the images used might be different to how we'd pay someone a compliment today, the intention behind them is the same. So let's look down at our Bibles and take a closer look. So verse 2, this is the woman talking. She says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Now, my kids, used to make funny noises when Liz and I kissed. Actually, thinking about it, I think they still do. But what's your reaction? Well, here's a picture of some famous people kissing. Do you recognise them? Anyone recognise them? I can hear some murmurs of Will and Kate. Yes, it's Will and Kate. See how happy they are. They're kissing on their wedding day. Kissing is a good thing to do. So husbands, make sure that you kiss your wives every day. Now, same verse, the woman finds her husband's love more delightful than wine. Now, you might not like wine, but wine is being used here as the picture of the best and nicest thing that she can possibly imagine. I don't know what the thing that you like best is. Maybe it's those little Lindor chocolates, probably the red ones or the white ones. Yeah, I see some nods there. Or maybe pigs in blankets. Yeah, I see some nods there. So, whatever it is, love should be better than anything. And she says in verse 3 that his name is like perfume poured out. Now, most perfume makes me sneeze, but in Solomon's time, when daily hot showers weren't an option, perfume was very, very welcome. Pouring perfume out on someone was a sign of great devotion and love for them. And you might remember that story of the lady who pours perfume out on Jesus. And so the woman here, she loves him. She loves her husband. She loves his name. She loves everything about him. And in verse 4, she wants him to take her into his chambers. I think it's clear that God is not boring, as today's culture likes to paint him. He's given us the best things to enjoy. Now, I'm not going to go into too much detail of this verse because it's an all-age service. But I will say that verse 4 makes me think of the tradition of a husband carrying his wife across the threshold when they get married. And it's worth saying to the young people here today that not only does God give us the best things to enjoy, he also helps us to know how to understand how to enjoy them properly. God's made it very clear that sex is for a married man and a woman. And it's a big topic. Tim and Alice have some plans for it later on in the term. So, moving on, we then get the first comment from the friends of the young woman. You can see that they rejoice in him too. Your little footnote there points out that the you is about the husband. They praise his love, again, more than wine. And it is lovely to see a couple who are in love, to see two people who enjoy each other and who serve together and who are united. And kids, although you might make funny noises when they kiss, I expect you're much happier when your parents are making the effort to love each other instead of maybe disagreeing. But as Jesus showed his disciples, Song of Songs isn't just about celebrating a married couple's love for each other. Song of Songs also gives us an amazing insight into how much God loves us, his people. So we can look at this passage with he being God and she being God's people and the friends being those outside the church looking in. We do need to be a little bit careful when we apply scripture in this way, especially with the Song of Songs, because it's not directly quoted in the New Testament. However, the picture of God as the bridegroom and his people as his bride is found in many places throughout the Bible. In Isaiah, in Hosea, and in the Psalms, especially Psalm 45. It's then expanded and explained further in the New Testament, in 2 Corinthians, Revelation, and most famously in Ephesians 5. We haven't got the time now to look at all these passages, but please do either catch me afterwards or have a look yourself at these other passages. But for now, I feel it's perfectly reasonable to see Jesus and his love for his church in the book of the Song of Songs. But how do you think God sees you? When God looks at you, what do you think he sees? Perhaps you think he sees a bit of a naughty, disobedient child. Or maybe he sees an unwashed beggar. Or maybe you think he grudgingly puts up with you and your feeble ways. Well, would it surprise you to hear instead that God looks on you with joy, delight, and love? My hope this morning is that learning how much God delights in us will allow us to delight in him more and free us to love each other better. Now, we're going to read the passage again, but this time I want all of you to read the she bits because they correspond to you, the church, and then I'll fill in the other bits. And as you read it, imagine that you're saying these things to God. You can either look down in your Bibles or it'll be up on the screen here. So, Solomon's Song of Songs. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is more delightful than wine. Pleasing is the fragrance of your perfume. We rejoice and delight in you. We will praise your love more than wine. How right they are to adore you. Dark I am, yet love me. Daughters of Jerusalem, dark like the tents of Kedar, like the tent curtains of Solomon. Do not stare at me because I am dark, because I am darkened by the sun. My mother's sons are angry with me and made me take care of the vineyard. If you do not know, most beautiful of women, follow the tracks of the sheep and graze your young goats by the tents of the shepherds. I liken you, my darling, to a mare among Pharaoh's chariot horses. Your cheeks are beautiful with earrings, your neck with strings of gold. We will make you earrings of gold, studded with silver. How did it feel saying those verses? God's love is more delightful than wine. God's love is the best. Your name is like perfume poured out. Even the name of Jesus is wonderful. Jesus' love is more delightful than anything. Jesus' love gives righteousness. He died to save us so that we can be right with God. Jesus' love brings peace, peace between us and God. Jesus' love brings joy in the Holy Spirit. We can take delight in Jesus' love for us. It's more exquisite than any earthly pleasure. Jesus loves us so much that he was willing to die on the cross for us, in our place, facing the Father's wrath for our sins. This is how much he loves us. But perhaps you don't feel lovely. Perhaps you can't understand how God could love you. Well, look at the words of the woman in verses 5 and 6. She describes herself as being dark, darkened by the sun, dark like the tents of Kedar, which I've got a picture of here. And the church is darkened by sin. Individually, we are all darkened by our sins. But if we believe in Jesus, that's not how God sees us. Jesus' death on the cross removed our sins. Jesus gives us his righteousness and glory. So when God looks at us, he sees the beauty of Christ. And look at verses 9 and 10. Jesus says to us, I liken you, my darling, to a mare among Pharaoh's chariot horses. Jesus knows us and loves us intimately. And he likens us to the most beautiful and powerful of horses. Jesus has made us beautiful, as like one wearing beautiful jewelry like this Indian bride. God loves us, and he has made us beautiful. He loves us and treasures us and takes joy in us. So if you feel wretched and sinful, Jesus loves you and treasures you. If you feel sad or lonely, Jesus loves you and treasures you. If you're unwell or you're scared, Jesus loves you and treasures you. If you don't think you're good enough for God, Jesus loves you and treasures you. If you don't love yourself, Jesus loves you and treasures you. Jesus' love is more delightful than wine. Jesus' name is like perfume poured out. Jesus loves you, so love Jesus. Adore him. Think about who Jesus is. Think about what he's done on the cross. Think of his love for you and love Jesus. But of course, this passage is even broader than that. Jesus doesn't just love and treasure us individually. but as a church, as a people together, as us here today, but also together with all the other Christians in the past, in the future, and all around the world. It's super that we can pray for Christians in other countries and even go out and visit them and encourage them. We are one church, Jesus' bride, and Jesus loves and treasures his church, whom he called, saved, and made beautiful. So we should love his church. We should love those in his church who are like us, and we should love those in his church who are different to us. Now, there might be some people here today who don't adore Jesus. Perhaps you look at your parents or other family or friends who do seem to love Jesus, and you don't understand why. Maybe you do long to know God's love, or maybe you don't yet. But either way, the king is beckoning you to come into his chambers. And in verse 7, the woman asks her beloved where he grazes his flock and rests his sheep. And the friends answer, follow the tracks of the sheep. Follow his sheep. They're easy to follow. You can see the tracks they've made in the fields here. So follow his sheep. Follow Jesus' people. Follow them to his cross. And see Jesus' love for you. Jesus died for you that you might be made right with God. He died for you that you might have peace with God. He died for you that you might have joy in your heart. He died for you that you might know his love, have a reason to live, and a sure and certain hope of life eternal. So let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we rejoice and delight in you. Grant us this joy and delight every day. And please remind us when we're low or weak of your amazing love for us. Help us, Lord, to love others in your church, both in our local church and worldwide. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I think we've got time. If you've got any questions, or if you've got any encouragements from the passage, I'll give you a moment to have a think. If you're at home on Zoom, you can type them in and we can read them out as well. I don't know about you, I've got hundreds of questions from the passage that I didn't find the answers to. Sure. So I'll repeat the question from Aidan. He says in verse 9... he likens his darling to a mare among Pharaoh's chariot horses. But why Pharaoh, who was an Egyptian ruler, whereas Solomon was a king of Israel? I expect that the answer is because the horses of Egypt would have been the most powerful and the most beautiful horses. So he's using them as an example of the best horse rather than anything being specifically good about Egypt, I think. Good question. Oh, that's a very good question. Ezra asks, are she and he directly speaking to each other, or are they writing it down? That's a really super question. The Song of Songs, if you read all of it, it sort of doesn't seem to fit together as sort of one story. So people think that it's kind of lots of sort of snippets. Sometimes they seem to be talking directly to each other. Other times, like... she seems to be sort of speaking when she's a bit where she gets lost and she's looking for her beloved and she can't find him. They seem to be speaking sort of not to each other, sort of generally or out to the world. But Solomon wrote the whole thing. So he's written all of this as one book inspired by God. But super question, thank you. Great, well thank you very much. I'm very happy to chat afterwards as well. We're going to sing again, so I'll give the musicians a bit of time to come up to the front.